Welcome back to What's the Point of the Midrash, the weekly podcast where we take a look at a rabbinic text and offer suggestions to answer the question, what's the point of the Midrash? My name is Rabbi Josh Uter, and this week we have a double portion, a double parsha of Tazria Mitzora. There's a lot of great Midrashic material here. We are going to focus on Mitzora, what I guess today we call leper, even though it wasn't really leprosy, but that's the best translation that we use for something called tzara'at. And when we discuss issues of tzara'at and the mitzora, one subject I think comes up more often than anything else is shemirat halashon, guarding one's speech. The reason being, based off of Gemara in Arachin 16a, we're told Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, citing Rav Yochanan, says the Niga'im, the plague of leprosy, is a punishment for seven sins. You've got, right off the bat, Lashon Hara, bad or malicious speech. For anyone interested, the others mentioned here are bloodshed or murder, taking an oath in vain, forbidden sexual relations, arrogance, theft, and stinginess. But of the seven, the one that I think gets the most attention is Lashon Hara, is the idea of bad speech. We're not going to get through all the halachot, all the laws of what constitutes Lashon Hara, but know that if it's being compared with something like murder and forbidden sexual relations, it's considered a pretty big deal. In fact, in Arachin 15b, you have the opinion of Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yossi ben Zimra, says, Kol ha-misaber lashon hara ki ilu kafar bi'ikar, that the person who tells over this bad speech of lashon hara is as if he denies the essence, meaning we're talking about the most fundamental sort of heretic. If anyone is interested, you can read up more on this in Rambam Hilchot Deot, chapter 7. There's also, I think, the most well-known book on the subject is the Chafetz Chaim. Feel free to look that up if you want more details or discussion on some of the parameters of what Lashon Hara is. For the purposes of today's Midrash, we're going to see, at least in my opinion, a contrast between good or positive speech and negative speech of the Lashon Hara and the relationship they have to each other. The Midrash that we'll be discussing is from Vayikra Rabbah 16:4, and it begins with a citation of Tehillim, Psalms 50, verse 16 in particular, but I think to get the full context of this, I'm going to read from Tehillim, Psalms 50, 16 through 20, where Pasuk says, Ulrasha marlokim, malacha lisaper chukai, v'tisa b'riti aleficha. And to the wicked, God says, Who are you to recite my laws and mouth the terms of my covenant? Va'ata saneti musar batishlach devaraya harecha, seeing that you spurn my discipline and brush my words aside. Im ra'ita ganav vateretz imo ve'im mina'afim chalkecha. When you see a thief, you fall in with him, and you throw in your lot with adulterers. Ficha shalachta vera'a ulashonecha tatzmid mirma. You devote your mouth to evil and yoke your tongue to deceit. Teshev ba'achicha tedaber, bevein imecha titein dofi. You are busy maligning your brother, defaming the son of your mother. So in these sections of Pesukim, we start off with a wicked person who ostensibly may give the appearance of being righteous, in that they're the ones who are reciting the laws and mouthing the terms of the covenant, but they actually turn aside the substance of those words. One example, or rather two examples from verse 18 being, when you see a thief, you fall in with him and throw in your lot with adulterers, it would be your associations and whom you may decide to elevate and associate with, Hamevin Yavin. But also at the end, it's not just a matter of teaching Torah, it's also how do you speak and use your speech, in that, yes, you may be speaking Torah, but also you are using it to speak deceit and treachery and maligning other people, in this case, the, you know, son of your mother, meaning your brethren. The reason why I cited the whole passage is, one, I think it's very important for context, but I also think it parallels the way this paragraph of Midrash from Vayikra Rabbah 16:4 is structured. How so? First, we begin with a mention of Ben Azai, where it discusses Ben Azai haya yoshev vidoresh. Ben Azai would sit and expound Torah. The ha'esh melahetet sevivotav, and flame or fire was burning around him. Amarule shema b'sidre merkava ata oseik. Maybe, perhaps, you're engaged in the study of the merkava, which literally means the chariot. But it's really a stand-in for, I guess, what some people might call theophany, or I guess we could call it a type of mysticism that discusses what goes on in the heavens. This is an idiom that's derived from Yechezkel Ezekiel's vision at the beginning. In the Mishnah, it's called Ma'aser Merkava, and it's something which shouldn't be taught publicly. It's a huge, huge deal in Kabbalah, where there's even a section called Merkava Mysticism about such things and how the cosmos works. So when they see Ben Azai sitting and studying and being Dorish Torah, they're asking him, well, if there's fire going around you, maybe you're discussing something so deep, spiritual, powerful, that that's what's causing the fire to go all around you. Pretty impressive stuff, no? Amar lahen, lav. But he says to them, no. Ela machriz divrei Torah l'nevi'im, u'nevi'im l'ktuvim. Rather, I'm finding parallels from the Torah to the prophets, and from the prophets to the writings. V'divrei Torah simechin kiyom netinatan basinai. And the words of the Torah are as joyful as the day they were given on Sinai. Ikar netinatan be'esh nitenu, the fundamentals of which were given in fire. Hadahu dechtiv ahar ba'er bo'esh, as it says in Devarim Deuteronomy 4:11, that the mountain burned in fire. So here, Ben Azai is doing what would seem to us to be fairly mundane in terms of finding parallels between the Torah, referring to the five books of Moses, and the prophets and the writings, and that was causing fire to come around him. I interpret this to mean that what we consider the fundamentals or basics or something typically mundane compared to a lot of other things, you know, the way our mindset works about what's important or deep and spiritual, even this mundane thing of finding the parallels between the different books of the Torah Shebichtav, of the written Torah, is itself fire and is enough to produce fire. This would be the first part of the speech, of the positive use of speech. And what is this positive use of speech? Trying to understand God better through the sacred books, not necessarily delving into deep mystical stuff, but even just understanding the words that are there. And that is enough of a good speech alone that can produce fire. On the other hand, the Midrash continues with a statement of Rabbi Levi, who says, "Matzinu b'Torah b'nevi'im uvaktuvim she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz b'kiluso shel Adam Rasha," that we have proof from the Torah, from Nevi'im, books of the prophets, and the Ketuvim, the writings, that God does not desire the praises of a wicked person. What are the proofs? From the Torah, it cites from Leviticus 13:45, "Va'al safam yatev etamei tamei yikara," that someone who has a leprous affliction, his clothes shall be rent, his head will be left bare, and he will cover his upper lip, saying, "Unclean, unclean." Min hanevim, from the prophets, and here it cites the example of Gehazi, the servant of the prophet Elisha. Quick summary here, in 2 Kings 5, he took illicit money and wound up with leprosy for it. The Mishnah does not treat him well. According to Mishnah Sanhedrin 10:1, he has no portion in the world to come along with Bilam, Doeg, and Achitophel. And in 2 Kings chapter 8, 4, and 5, Gehazi was asked, tell me all the wonderful things that Elisha had done. And while he was in the middle, a woman came in, the mother whose son Elisha had revived, and kind of interrupts him. So the Midrash cites this as an example of how God doesn't want to hear the praises of the wicked people, whom it's treating Gehazi to have been, in that he gets cut off and that God didn't even want to hear him speak at this, and the woman comes in and takes over. And from the collection of writings, the verse that we cited from Psalms 50:16, Ulasha Marlokim Malacha Lisaper Chukai, to the wicked, he says, what are you doing to speak my laws? In this passage of this Midrash, we see that even good speech from bad people is prevented. So on one hand, we have Ben Azai, who is speaking Torah, even though it's the, quote, mundane parts of the Torah, the kind of basics, that's enough to produce fire just as Torah was given with fire. On the other hand, if you have someone who is wicked, they, according to the opinion of Levi, won't have the opportunity to use their speech for good. And the Midrash concludes with a statement of Rav Lazar citing Rav Yossi ben Zimra, who says, "Matayim va'arbeim u'shmona ivarim yeshbo ba'adam." There are 248 limbs in the body. Mehem ritzuvim, mehem zukufim, that they, some are upright, some are prone. Lashon ze natun ben shenei lechayim, ve'amat hamayim overet tachtav. The tongue is prone, is set between two cheeks, with water passing beneath it, umchupal kama kafalot, and is arranged in numerous folds. Bo ure kama serefot husoref, yet come and see how many conflagrations and fires it's called. Ilu haya zakuf ve'omed al achat kama ve'chama, had it been upright, even more so. Lefichach, therefore, Moshe hisirat Yisrael ve'omer lahem, zot tihia Torah temetzora hamotzi shemra. For this reason, Moses warned Israel, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. I have him, the one who sends out a bad name. That's the literal translation. Motzi shemra typically refers to slander. In this last statement of this Midrash, we find that the speech act itself can make someone wicked. Normally, when we associate wickedness, we associate with a whole slew of actions, and there are discussions that typically we don't punish people for a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, a negative prohibition that has no action, and is speech really considered an action or not? But someone can be wicked through speech alone. And put together with the statements of Ben Azai and Reb Levi, that the bad speech can make someone wicked, and in doing so, can even offset this positive speech of Torah. Because after all, if speech makes you wicked, and God doesn't want to hear the praises of the wicked, it will interrupt you from being able to teach Torah. And that gets back to Psalms 50 that we cited at the beginning, where God says, "Ulorasha marloki malacha lisaper chukai v'tisabriti alayficha." He says to the wicked, "Who are you to recite my laws and your mouth the terms of my covenant?" Because if you're going to teach Torah and you're also going to engage in the type of speech that makes you wicked, then yes, you could be using your speech for good and bad, but that second category would be enough to negate all of that good stuff that you do and would even preempt from teaching Torah. That is how severe the category of Lashon Hara is and is treated, in addition to all those other Midrashic statements. So I found this interesting because the Midrash begins citing this pasuk, these psukim, these verses from Psalms, and then in the course of the opinions it cites in this paragraph, it kind of parallels the message that I think we see in Psalms itself. Those are my thoughts, and I'd love to hear yours. What do you think is the point of this midrash? Please feel free to reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter with the handle at JUter. I'm also on Facebook, or send me an email via my website, www.joshuter.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great week and a wonderful Shabbat.